Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, welcome to this special one-hour program. And this is Pastor George Small. It is a privilege to have you with us tonight. And as we get set up here, it's an amazing time in our nation. If you've been listening to this program, we've been saying that for a while. I even told our church on Sunday here in central Massachusetts, you know, I keep saying this is an incredible time, and I think I've overused that word or that phrase, but it really is just an amazing time. What is happening in our world? We started this program, you've been listening, back in, I guess, late March, early April. I don't even remember now, in response to the pandemic that was going on around us. And it's true, we've been used to that. That's kind of our new normal right now. But now we have another situation that is happening in our country that has a lot of our attention, a lot of our hearts. And I would imagine some of us are wondering even where this recent situation that's developing is going to go. And well, we want to use this hour, as you've been tuning in, we want to use it to point you to the Lord, to give you words of hope, but also to remind you, too, you know, we're in different places, and sometimes we have different perspectives, but to just take you back to the Lord. I believe Jesus is the answer. I do believe God is the answer for all that's going on. And so it is my privilege tonight, again, to have a couple pastors with me in the studio. And last night, we had a blessed interview, Pastor Tom Hughes of New Creation, and also Pastor Reggie Smith was with us. And if you were listening, it was a real blessed time for me, and I even learned a lot in the interview. Well, tonight we have Pastor Tom Hughes with us again, but now we also have Pastor Gary Palmer. And I want to introduce Pastor Gary, let him just share a little bit about himself. He's had a lot of years of ministry in New England. And just let him share a little bit of his story as we get started tonight.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm married to a beautiful young lady by the name of Brenda Palmer, retired school teacher here in Fitchburg. I've been here for 32 years in the New England States. Had never been this far north before, 32 years ago. But now I know what the winters are like. What can I say about myself? I spent 21 years in the armed forces, so I'm a retired armed force military officer. I have four daughters and one son. I have 11 grandchildren.
Wow.
Besides salvation, that's the joy of my life.
Wow.
And several of them are saved and know the Lord. I worked for several years in public health. I was a food hygienist for the armed forces for 18 years. So I've had some public health training. So COVID puts me on alert because it is a serious thing. But beyond COVID, we are dealing with even more of a serious thing when we look out into our world and see the pain and destruction that's taking place. But I'm like George and Pastor Hughes. I believe there's somebody we can turn to that will lead us, guide us, protect us, and keep us. I truly believe that. That's one of the reasons I carry the cross, is to remind myself that we have a Savior. We have a Lord that's watching over us. So it's a pleasure to be here. Hopefully I can add my voice to other voices, and by the grace of God, we can make a change and a difference.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Gary, it's I've known you for a long time. You've always been an encouragement to me, and we've had different times of prayer gatherings with different churches in the area to even ministry for men and so forth. So it's, again, a real privilege. And you pastor the New Hope Church in Ayr, and I believe you're the founding pastor of that church. Is that correct?
Yes. My wife and I began with the grace of God in 1987. Wow. So we've been there. We came here to actually be here for a year just to see New England and then retire in Florida, but God had other plans. We also have the Hope Center over on Harvard Street here in Fitchburg. We've had that center open. We used to be on River Street,
right.
Burned down, and now we're over on Harvard 100.
Right, right.
And so we're still trying to do outreach ministry there, counseling, things of this nature. Ministry's going to change because COVID changes everything. But God's going to give us a way.
Yeah, amen. Well, Pastor Gary, as you look around today, and now we have this situation, obviously it was centered around. I was talking to some police officers today, and one of them was a officer of color, and both of them just expressed to me that, you know, they couldn't even watch that video. You know, they watched a couple minutes of it, and it was just so troubling. This video now that's gone around the world, we've seen it. Honestly, I've never watched it. I don't want to watch it. But it's a situation. I know Pastor Tom and Reggie, you know, their response. One of the things they stated last night was, here we go again. Here we go again. And, here we go again. And it seems maybe even a bigger way. There's just a whole lot that is happening right now in our country. A lot of people that are offended and hurt. People that are maybe afraid. There's just a whole lot of emotion. There's a whole lot of, you know, just anger and bitterness. And then, as we even talked about it last night, there's other elements trying to use this to, you know, hijack, you know, a protest and try to stir up chaos. You know, there's so many things going on. We get the opportunity as pastors to be together here. You have so many years in ministry and just a wonderful church. But with the situation, with that video and what's going on, and as you look at what's happening around us, what would you say right now to the church in New England? What would be your word to the church in New England?
I believe, like most pastors, if we are in tune with the Lord, the first thing that always comes to our mind is transgression of the way of God. We call it sin.
Right.
And as a result of that, we will always have negative outcomes. We could quickly go to the scriptures and guide ourselves. We can become holy rollies and guide ourselves. But the truth is, we need to be very practical in understanding what's taking place. I will say this. There's a proverbial scripture that says, whatsoever man sow, he shall reap. If you sow racism into a child will practice it. Nobody is born with racism. It has to be taught. I can stop my children from being racist by teaching them. And then they have to decide whether they will not perform racist acts. But if I don't teach them, and someone else teaches them opposite of me, they will practice that. So we've got to look at ourselves. Black folks know what's happened. We've been dealing with it all the while we've been black. Our brothers, Anglos, have to look at it and say, well, who's perpetrating this? I look at George. I know George is a good man. I know he loves God. I don't believe George teaches racism to his children because of what I've known about George. But all of us, black and white, we have to really stop and think about those times when we saw it being practiced and we remained silent. Mm-hmm. And if we don't stand up when we see it being practiced, we'll never overcome it. And that's black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. If something is wrong and you don't stand up against it, you become a party to it. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree, none of us are perfect. Pastor Palmer will be the first one to say, I have shortcomings just like everybody else. But my heart is what guides me and the spirit that abides in me. And so I try to practice those things that are recorded in the scripture. And if I do that, much of this we're dealing with, I wouldn't have to deal with. But let's be real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As long as we're here in this earth,
right,
we're going to have some scribe. Because
mm-hmm.
man himself is scribing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Brother George, yes, we began with God, but we also got to look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. You know, you mentioned generationally there is a problem, and that's what you've said. You know, it's something we pass on, isn't it? You're not born that way. We are born with a fallen nature, and you know, it took Adam and Eve to get to their children, and there was a murder between their sons. It's really a tragic situation.
Right.
We're born as fallen and sinners, but it's true that the way you lead your home, the way you speak about others, certainly affects your children and the next generation. And so we do, you know, perpetuate a bias, a prejudice, a hatred, a bitterness. And yeah, we've been in this a long time, haven't we? And so I think that's a good word. You know, again, you're listening to Renew FM. This is Pastor George Small. I have two pastors with me here in the studio. And, you know, with what is happening now, this recent thing in our nation, Pastor Gary Palmer of New Hope Church and Pastor Tom Hughes of New Creation. And they can talk a lot to the situation from their own journey. And so as Pastor Gary is reminding us that, you know, prejudice is something that we help perpetuate. That then means if we perpetuate it, then you're also inferring we can help stop it.
Right. That's
we
right.
can break the cycle, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
Could you share some thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's very important, Brother Joy, for not to mix things in. And let me explain myself. We all have prejudices. And if you say you don't have them, you're not being honest. Mm. But having a prejudice doesn't make me a racist. Mm. A racist determines that I'm better than you. Mm. And the truth is, you're not. You bleed the same kind of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the same kind of oxygen. COVID may take me out sooner, but it'll get you later. Because none of us are immune.
Mm-hmm.
But racism is something that has to be taught. And that's where we begin. We can teach against it in school. We can teach against it in church. And by the grace of God, we can overcome it. Mm-hmm. But we can't keep going the way we are, saying, well, it's them. No, it's all of us. If it affects you and your family, it affects me and my family. And as leaders, especially church leaders, it's important for us to teach that to our people. You know, sometimes we get on our religious platitudes and we are holier than thou, but the truth is, much of what we see going on is sitting in the pew.
Right.
And I'm talking about the hearts of the people in the pew. If my son says something negative to someone and hurt them, if I don't say something, I'm just as guilty as he is. And so I put it on us older and adult generation, because the young people, they're ready to do what's right. That's why we see so many of them in the street. They're not going to be kept in the same bondages we were kept in. And I thank God for their desire to not be guided by their color, their religion, or whatever. I admire that about young people.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, sharing just a passion to make things right when you see something that you believe is wrong. And so we have a lot to do with this, and that's the point you're making. We can make a change in this as the Christians and as the church. You know, we look at the Bible, and we had a little bit of a joking thing we were doing last night because, Tom and Reggie were mentioning how we have the same father but a different mother. And then I reminded them, well, if we go back far enough, we have the same mother too, you know. And that actually is what the Bible teaches, that we're all the same kind. We're all the same. It's just history that changes some of our features, our skin colors. It's just the history of the way genetics is worked. And, you know, the culture then changes. And there's that's just what's happening. But you go way back, you know, we'll eventually get to Noah and his wife. You know what I'm saying? So we go back to the same mom eventually. So the Bible shows us that we are one, that we are truly brothers and sisters. We truly are of one family. And it's so tragic but it's just the human heart. And there's a lot of things that have happened too that are very evil that have promoted it. And, you know, we can get into, maybe we shouldn't get into too much of that. But so we can promote healing. And that's what we want to do here tonight and communicate that. And so I'm going to just ask Pastor Tom at this point, as we continue with these thoughts, Tom, you know, as Gary's mentioned, we perpetuate this, but we can also... we can also do something to bring healing. And I'd like to just continue with that subject with you tonight, because that's really the intent of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help. And so you mentioned some things last night, but with Gary's thoughts in mind, what would you add to what Gary has said tonight?
I think Pastor Palmer hit the nail right on the head. Some of the things that 99% of the things that we're dealing with, we're dealing with them straight from the home. And, you know, when it's taught, from a early stage, and it's ingrained. And so when they go out and we see this behavior, the last thing we do is look at ourselves. The first thing we do is point the finger. And it really should be the opposite way. You know what I mean? Because we really hold some responsibility in terms of passing down. Are we passing down love? Are we passing down hate? And so the best way, I think, to do this is do just like we did when we accepted grace. we repented and acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm a transgressor against your word, God. I need you to come into my heart. I think is the best way. We have not done right the way we supposed to have done it. Lord, forgive us. And then if I transgress against my brother or sister, the Bible tells me, if you have an altar against your brother or your sister, you go to him and him alone. You know what I mean? And so that's what I think. In this negative situation, it's going to give people who would never talk about this, sit down and talk about it. Because there's something about this situation that has rubbed the country in a different way. You know, there's still some people who you know, they just going to be them. But there's some people who were on the edge. And they said, wait a minute, maybe. But this kind of touched them in a different way, I think. And now it's not only getting a conversation, but it's starting to generate action. Where do we go from here? How do we address this? When you see leaders of a department take a stand, absolutely not, around the country. And I don't, not in my life, I've never seen that many law enforcement leaders speak out and say something is not right. That said, that's a powerful statement when leadership acknowledge something what's ever happening is not right. And that's the stand that we ought to take. If something is not happening, we're going to speak out and say, whether it's in the pews or whether it's in our house or whether it's on the street or whether it's anywhere, not just, going along to get along, but saying, no, we need to stop it. I think I think it was Albert Einstein, right? He said, an object in motion stays in motion. Am I correct? Until a force comes against it to stop it. And so we can be that guiding force whom the Lord has equipped with the power of his spirit to say, how can we right this wrong? How can we change the forces of darkness, the forces of evil? And we can drive out that with love. Dr. King made that powerful. He said, only love can drive out hate. Hate can't do that. You know what I mean? So if we are fighting, how are we going to come to an agreement? How are we going to come to some type of understanding where we can help the next generation?
Yeah. Amen. You've made a lot of great points, both of you. And so, you know, as I'm listening, you mentioned about the need, you really spoke about at the beginning about repentance. Mm. And, you know, if you look at the situation, the need for healing,
right,
it's such a big thing. You know, where do you start, right? Where do you start to change this thing? Mm-hmm. How do we change this after so many generations? And, well, that is the beginning, isn't it?
Right, it is.
You and I here tonight talking to people on the radio, we talk to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And this, where this starts is with repentance.
I think
of Cain and Abel, right? Mm-hmm. Cain gets the bitterness going in his heart. And God even came and warned him,
right?
God said, like, sin is knocking at your door, man.
Right.
It's going to master you. You have an opportunity here to deal with that bitterness that's in your heart.
Mm.
And he doesn't, right? And he goes and does incredible evil and kills his brother Abel. But repentance, that's what God was coming to him and dealing with his heart, what was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. You know, we're a few of us here in a studio. Our radio stations, we've got 13, 14 of them spread around, and there are people listening right now. And how do you start to fix what's going on in America?
Mm.
It starts with your heart and my heart, and it starts with repentance. That's where the Bible starts. I look there. Do I have the heart of God?
Right.
Do I view God's people and the world? You know, God, these are God's children, everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Do I view this? This is God's wonderful creation.
Mm-hmm.
All the people, and do I view them the way that God does, or do I have a bias because of the news source that I watch, bias because of my history, bias because of my, you know, what I've gone through, or I'm really letting God, you know, seeing things the way I should? And that's the beginning, is repentance. And so I'd like to ask you, Gary, you know, your thoughts related to that in this situation, if there are thoughts you could add to that. And then I want to come back to you, Tom, because tomorrow we do have something happening in our city, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about that. But Gary, you know, changing the heart, can I just get your thoughts? And you're talking to our audience here. We're trying to
listen to what you were saying, George, and I think we all in this room, we believe that we are as a result of God's creation. And as you said earlier, the creation fell into sin. You know, and the Bible said we all sin to save by grace. But there are some realities that we have to not look away from the Lord, but look at reality. I give an example of what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen the movie The Help?
I haven't seen that.
It's a movie. It's titled The Help. Mm-hmm. And the story surrounds maids that work primarily in white homes. Now, there's a maid. She's taking care of this child all his life. Mm-hmm. But there's a need to go to the bathroom. And she's told that she cannot use the bathroom in the house. She must go out back. Now, that child is listening to that. Mm. What did that generate in that child's mind?
Right.
That's why I keep saying it. God is our answer, but it also begins with us. Mm. God has the seed to give us new life, but will we plant them? Mm. What we sow is what we will reap. We are reaping today. As you look at the TV, we are reaping what we've sown. Mm. People are frustrated. They're angry. They're tired. Some are still afraid. Mm. And the black man is saying, am I next? And so we had to begin in a teaching process at home. And if daddy don't manifest it for his son, how do you expect your son to manifest it? Mm. If my son hear me talking negatively and ugly toward other people, thinking like I'm better than them, what will he grow up and do? So the reality is, and I think Dr. King said it, everybody's quoting him these days.
Yeah, right, right.
But it is true. Mm-hmm. If we don't learn how to work together as brothers and sisters, we're going to end up destroying ourselves. In fact, as the scripture said, we began to consume ourselves one of the other. Mm. Everybody got to step up to the plate. If we want to overcome what we are dealing with, surely, I agree with Joy, God is our first answer. Mm-hmm. But God has put certain responsibilities in every man and woman on the face of this earth. Mm-hmm. I decide whether I'm going to respect you. I decide whether I'm going to love you, mm-hmm. whether I'm going to treat you right. That's mm-hmm. my decision. That's mm-hmm. not God's decision. He already made it. He told us to love one another.
Right.
So we've got to begin to examine ourselves and take responsibility. Mm-hmm. Don't say, well, they just bad people or he just bad. No. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. What seeds are you sowing? And I'm speaking to myself at the same time. And so I'm strong about that. We have to look. Someone said the other day that black folks love to talk about slavery because they're trying to make white folks feel guilty. That is such a foolish statement. I've never been in slavery, okay? A chain has never been on my back other than the prejudices that I've had to deal with. But, again, it begins with the heart, but it begins with the individual. Doesn't matter what color they are. If you are practicing racism, you are part of that problem that we see in that street. Prejudice, I say again, we all got them. But a racist stands above the mountain and looks down at everybody else. Mm. And so those of us, especially in the church, I say that to all the preachers out there that's listening, especially in the church.
Right.
If we're going to teach the Bible, we got to live the Bible.
Live it. That's right.
We don't teach great hymns inside the church and then come out and treat people like a dog.
That's right.
Mm. It's a very emotional time. Someone asked me today, how did I feel? And I said, I'm not sure how I feel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wrestle with anger. Sometimes I wrestle with fear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I deal with disgust. Mm-hmm. Because I believe God created us to be better than what we are. Mm-hmm. But as Joy said it, we were fallen, but we can't keep using that as an excuse. God gave us a way out. Yeah. We just got to start listening to him and practice what he teaches us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, we're at a time, it's 2020. This is... there's so many years of history and experience. So much has gone into America, the culture, and the reason why we could talk about so many different things. But we can't change the past. We can't go back.
Right.
We can't change anything. Yesterday is already gone. Mm-hmm. We got today, and we've got what we're going to do with this day going forward, and what kind of neighborhood, what kind of city, what kind of country are we going to have? And as Christians, I have also that higher understanding. I'm accountable to a God in heaven who I'm going to stand before someday, and I'm going to give an account for my life. I believe I'm forgiven, and I stand under the blood of Christ. But there's an awards ceremony, and John did say in his epistle, right? And now little children abide in him, so that when he does appear, we are not ashamed at his coming. We can be ashamed even though we know him. And so we can't change the past, but we can change today. We can start doing it different, and it does come down to the love of God, and it comes down to, as we said, repentance and taking action and changing what we were doing and changing and whatever that's going to mean to the person. So, Pastor Tom, mm-hmm. We have a few minutes here before our break. This hour always goes by real quickly. Yeah. And we were just getting started last night, and here we are again. But we are going to be there's an event going on tomorrow in Fitchburg. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, there's a lot of young people involved with this. Mm-hmm. And I know you spoke a little bit to them yesterday. But as you're thinking about tomorrow, you may have an opportunity, it sounds like, to speak to maybe hundreds, maybe more. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And what do you say to the young people? What's going through your heart and mind? What's your thought? Go ahead.
And for me, as I, try to position myself before the Lord to hear the voice of the Lord on what to say to the young people, the first thing I would say to anyone that's dealing with young people, don't snuff out their voice. Allow a platform for them to be heard. But also understand that when they start to voice their concern or the way they feel, please understand they don't speak the way we speak. They don't articulate it the way we think it ought to be articulated. So our first idea is to don't talk like that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Well, if we don't allow them to get it out, then we will never know what to address. Yeah. And so they bottle it in and they take it elsewhere. And there's a platform built where they can get it out, and then when it's not harnessed and cultivated and things like that, then it goes in a different direction, which is what we see after the fact. So I'm praying for the city to have an opportunity to allow the young people to express themselves and then hear them. Listening is not waiting to speak. If we're going to hear them, hear their voice, hear their concern. If we don't, then there will not be another generation to discuss anything going forward, because we're going to destroy it. But God is not going to allow that to happen until he's ready. We'll make it worse, but until the Lord says the end, then it's not. So we have to make sure that we are listening to what they're saying and listening to their concerns and providing an opportunity for them to lay their concerns on the table, and by God's wisdom and by God's understanding, we can kind of help guide them in a direction. Like I have some that what I'm doing, even on my Facebook Live from time to time, Pastor, is kind of interviewing young people, one-on-one. What are your feelings? What are you thinking? How are you dealing with this? And then one of the young people that I was interviewing said, well, how do you feel about it? Mm. And their answer, they were waiting on me to answer. I was like, okay, I'm thinking like, oh, wow, that's kind of a, good question for me. But they're waiting on my response to see if it, am I going to differ from what they feel and why do I feel that way? And so they know when we're lying to them.
Yeah.
So I have to tell them the truth. I'm emotional. I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I'm upset. You know what I mean? So we have to be honest with them. Whenever you're dealing with young people, you have to be honest. You cannot tell them what we want them to hear.
Okay.
Tell them what they need to hear.
All right, we're going to come back after the break. We're going right to a break. You're listening to Renew FM. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, guys.
Well, you're listening to Renew FM. and welcome back to this special one-hour program, something we started a couple months ago, and with the way the world is moving, it's taken on a little bit of a different direction here in the last few days. But I have the privilege of having with me in the studio here at Renew FM, Pastor Gary Palmer of New Hope Church in Ayer, Massachusetts, and Pastor Tom Hughes of New Creation in Fitchburg. And you, I'm sure, are very aware of all that is going on right now in our cities and just the chaos and the unrest, but a lot of anger and protest and, you know, a lot of people, a lot of emotions and so forth. And you, I'm sure, have your own convictions too. And we just want to use this time to continue to point you to the Lord and be a source of encouragement of the Lord and a source of healing in any way we can be. And we've crossed some of these topics in the last half hour, but we're going to continue. And some of our questions may be more direct in to one another. So we're just going to just use this, you know, like three pastors with a cup of coffee, each of us just kind of sharing our hearts with one another. And I sure hope this encourages you and bless you. So, Pastor Gary, we were talking between the break, and you had some thoughts, so I'm going to go back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I said to Brother George, I was going to put him on the spot. When I first met Brother George, I recognized he was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart's desire for all people to know the Lord. And I recognized that about him. That's why every chance I got to be with him, I looked forward to it. But Brother George, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
When you found yourself in an environment where you saw racism right before you, what were your actions?
Well, I hope that when I'm aware of it, I hope that I'm aware of it. You know what I'm saying? I may not have the eyes that you do to see it. I may not have the perception. But I want to stand up for people. I that tends to be what I hope is my heart. You know, my heart can get hard at times, but I sure hope when I see people that are being singled out, whether it's for their color or whether it's for their ethnicity or whatever it might be, that I'm there to stand for them. So maybe there's a specific example, you know, but I sure hope that I do. That's my personal opinion, you know, but I'm very human and very blinded to things at the same time, to be honest with you. So do you want to take it further?
Well, thank you for that response. When I see someone doing wrong and injustice, it bothers me. Because I know if they're doing it to him, they can do it to me. And so if I'm in the vicinity of it, I'm going to speak up and say something. And when you see racism, you recognize it. It's pretty simple. Anytime a person puts themselves above someone else and thinks that they're better, that's a mark of racism. That's a mark of racism.
Oh, I hear you.
If that happens in my presence, I'm going to speak up. I may get shot, but it's not right. You know, we look to the scriptures for our guidance. There's a little, in one of the epistles, in John's little epistles, and it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, and it's one of my life verses. It says, "Beloved, if your heart condemn you not, you have peace with God." So if each one of us will look into our hearts and see what's in it, what's coming out of it, because that's where the evil comes from. It doesn't come from the brain, it comes from the heart. So if I can stand around and see a person treated like dirt simply because of their nationality, color, whatever, I've got something going on in my heart.
No, amen. Oh, I'm right there with you. So I'm going to ask you a question, Gary. You've known me for a long time. I'm willing, even on radio, I will take a correction. I confess that I really am burdened for the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. I love your church. I really do. I love your men. I it's a privilege to know you and Tom and the men of your church. Sometimes I worry we've done things together. Honestly, sometimes I worry if there's somebody in our church that's said something or done something. You know what I mean? I'm always worried about that. And are you aware of any of that between our churches?
No, I haven't had that experience with your church.
Oh, good.
Let's finish this.
That's why I'm going a little further. Because I didn't know if you were going somewhere, man. Yeah. Please reprove me. I'm listening.
You know, we have to be aware when it happens. When you think about racism, it is simply saying that I'm better than you. I'm worth more than you. We watch a man murdered. because a man did not think he was worthy of living. He could have stood up at any time, and he continued to put pressure on that man because he did not respect that man, as a human being. You know, early this morning, I was in my devotion, and I went all the way back to Genesis. And it said that God breathed, and he became a living soul. God put the first breath of life in man, and a man snuffed it out. Think about it. What kind of heart, what kind of darkness would be in a heart that you will murder a person, shut off their airway? George, we as Christians, the body of Christ is in good shape if we practice what we've been taught by Christ.
Amen.
But Dr. King said, and it's still true, Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours.
Segregated hours, yeah.
It hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know what to do. It, you know, the birds of the feather flock together.
Right.
I'm a nerd, you know, and I attract nerds. You know what I'm saying? I can't seem to change it. I'd love to have a little bit more diversity.
You know, and that's fine.
Yep.
As long as they are nerds that practice what they are taught in the scriptures,
It's
okay to be with who you want to be with.
Yeah. Right.
But whoever's with you, you treat them with respect, like someone. You know, we're not going to legislate this. We can go and vote, and we can change office members, but the change has to take place in a man's heart. Mm. And, George, I agree with you 100%. We have to use the power of God to do that.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that with some program we came up with.
Right.
No, amen.
Right.
I do agree. It's repentance. That's where this starts. It always does. Change always begins with me as an individual when God speaks to my heart. And that for that reason, I need to be in the Bible. I need to be in the Word.
Right.
I need to let God speak into my heart. I just read even this morning. I was at that psalm. I was going through my devos, and I happened to come to the psalm, to Psalm 139 this morning, and I hit those last words. But David's like, you know, God, you know everything about me. And then at the end, he says, search my heart, O God, and try me and test me.
Wow.
And I hit those words, and, you know, Lord, try me and test me. Here's my heart. It's just... my heart's deceitfully wicked. I want my heart to be right. So when we are all that way, rather than just pointing the finger, rather than just looking at someone else and what they've done or didn't do, but we're letting God work in us, and we're repenting. And that's actually where revival begins, too. Revival begins where I've realized the need is me. I can remember one time I was really burdened, and I just thought this one particular situation area I was in, I just thought it was a tough situation, and I had a lot of negative things to say about it, you know what I mean? And I was just complaining to God, and I was a pretty lousy, I'm not very proud of it, but I was just going through the struggle. And one night the Lord just approached me in the way that he does. He's like, the ugly stuff is in you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's in you, man, you know? And so it was quite a thing, and to have that. So, Tom, as we continue tonight, and with you both pastors just sharing your heart, I'm going to go back. Well, you know, with the mic at you, Gary, I want to just continue with you for a moment, Gary, and we're going to go back to Tom.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about prayer, because your church, as I was talking to you earlier today, you've been praying 62 days in a row.
That's been a blessing.
Four prayer meetings a day, 62 days in a row.
Four times a day. In fact, I finished at 5 o'clock. And I will go back tonight at 10.
Wow.
We have four sessions. We started with the basic common prayer book.
Yeah.
It's another gentleman's book now, and we've been utilizing it. I don't even know the author right now. But it has us before the Lord four times a day, and we are praying through the Psalms.
Wow.
When you look at the Psalms, they are filled with prayers.
Yes.
Right.
And we are praying through those Psalms and examining ourselves each time we come before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're doing it Zoom, like many people do in Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had great response from the church coming in, because most people are shut in now.
Mm-hmm.
So four times a day, we'll come into that Zoom, and we are praying those scriptures and praying that guidance that's in that prayer book. And it's affecting all of us. I know it's affecting this pastor.
Amen.
Mm.
I didn't pray four times a day. I prayed throughout the day. But I could not tell you that I went specifically to pray four times a day. I'm talking about Pastor Palmer. I ain't talking about nobody else. So this four times a day, consciously stopping and getting before God, asking him to examine me, not my flock, not my wife, examine Gary Palmer. Show me the ugliness that's in me. Show me where I've missed it. We keep hollering about let's fix it. Let's fix it here first.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's
if
right.
the heart's not fixed, the man's not going to be fixed. And I agree with you 100%, Joy. God is the answer. But reality is we've got to look at ourselves first. God has already looked at us. And so I keep examining myself to make certain that I'm setting the right example, that I'm standing up for what's right, that I'm standing up for what's just. I'm not a politician. My wife told me many years ago she didn't want me in politics. She wouldn't be married to a politician, so that's why I'm a preacher. And, not in politics. But I'm strong on this heart thing because I've lived long enough. I was telling Pastor Hugh I made that beautiful age of 68 a couple of days ago, and that's different. I thank God for every year. But I've seen this pain long enough to know it when I see it. And I don't have to look for the answer. I know the number one answer is in the Lord. But the number two answer is in each one of us.
That's right.
I have to treat your daughter with respect. I have to do that. You may not be there to treat her with respect. I'm responsible for doing that. I know this is your daughter. Nobody should have to come and tell me to treat her with respect. If I saw somebody doing something to her, I would step up.
Amen.
And I would say, don't you treat her that way.
That's right.
And I wouldn't do that just because she's your daughter. I'd do it for anybody's daughter.
Amen.
That's what's in Pastor Palmer's heart. That's why I keep going back there. Let's hold one another accountable.
Yeah, you know, every problem always goes back to a heart problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really, every issue really does go back to a spiritual issue. You can just, you can trace it back to a spiritual problem. And in America, if we're going to fix this, there's a lot of things we need to do, maybe with legislation. There's maybe changes we need to do in the way we are even doing certain ways when we do arrest and policing and so forth. And I want to just note tonight on Renew FM, because it was even pointed out last night by Reggie Smith, Pastor Reggie, that obviously what happened in this video does not represent a vast majority of police officers and first responders. It represents a small minority. And as I was even talking to two local police officers today, they are just so sad by what they saw in the video, and they want the people of Fitchburg and all the young people know that they really care, and they want, you know, they want to help the city and not hurt people. And you know, this stuff has happened, does happen enough, obviously, but they only represent so many. There are many other officers and first responders that are seeing things and doing it differently, so we want to mention that today. But yeah, it comes down to a heart problem. It, you know, we're going to fix America. We got to each fix our hearts. If we do, we'll do this. Humility will go a long way.
Right. That's right.
Forgiveness and humility. So Pastor Tom, you know, going back to you, as we have this event tomorrow and you were speaking to the young people, and I'd like to just, you know, continue with your thoughts about, you know, what needs to happen at these sort of protests and what needs to happen to, you know, to be constructive, to what needs to be said? What do we need to do here to start fixing even these things that are going on? You know, some practical things that maybe you're thinking of, Pastor Tom.
I think Pastor George, Dr. Palmer has said it best. Before anyone address any of God's people, whether it's in a religious setting or a civil setting, seek the heart of God, and that we, and I want to make sure that I'm the Lord's mouthpiece, just a vessel, because the wrong words, even out of a pastor's mouth, can snuff out the wick, you know what I mean? Can really do damage. And so my main concern is that me trying to position myself before the Lord and say, Lord, give me what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. Teach me, oh God, how to listen, how to try and articulate the voice of God so it may bring healing and restoration. We can either be a catalyst to change we can be a catalyst to better, or we can also make it worse. Because who do the people listen to the most? Even an atheist, a non-believer, takes time out of their day to listen to a pastor, even if they try to discredit him. So they have to take time to listen to the pastor or to whoever's bringing the word to try and discredit them. So we have the voice of the non-believer, I mean the ears of the non-believers as well as the believer. What a unique position God has put us in to be able to do that. So number one, my thing is to be open, be honest. Then be willing to be criticized. Because it's going to come with criticism. They're going to say, you didn't do it. How dare you tell me not to do something when I saw you do it? That's the worst feeling. You ever had someone tell you, wait a minute, how are you going to tell me that? That's a hypocrite. And the world loves to use that word, you bunch of hypocrites. You know what I mean? So we have to make sure that, I have to make sure that I'm going to live the life that I sing about. And if I'm going to ask them not to do something, then I'm going to have to model that behavior. I'm going to have to model that behavior. And you talked about the police officers that were hurt. I had a conversation with a couple of officers as well. And they expressed the same feeling. And I'm deeply touched by the compassion of law enforcement officers around the country. You know, showing that they're together. Yeah, we enforce the law, but that was too much. You went over the line. And they acknowledge that, and that speaks volumes to my heart. So now our challenge is to say to these young people, you don't paint everybody with the same brush. You don't paint them with the same brush. Yes, are there people in the law enforcement community that do not uphold the standards of their office and what they're supposed to be doing? Yes. But you make sure you don't treat the other one who's doing right like you treated, like the other one treated you. And we can only teach that. So I'm not going to treat somebody the way they treat me. God tells us, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. You know, and then it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. For they soon shall be cut down like the green grass and wither away. So the responsibility of all of us is to be that example. And then when the young people say, well, guess what? I saw you. Yes, you did. I can't lie. You know, I had a bad day. I had a momentary letdown. I had a bad moment of judgment. I did, but I'm sorry. I apologize to you for you this interaction that I had with you, and then Lord, forgive me. I think that speaks volumes.
Amen. Amen. You know, as I'm listening to you, and I wish we could have a 3-hour interview, but you know, I confess too. Mm. I'm burdened, and my heart's sad for so many police officers.
Right.
And their wives and their children.
Yeah,
what a difficult job!
Oh my God!
You know what I'm saying? I mean, what so many of these officers are encountering day in and day out, and the way they're treated, and some of the areas are tough areas every day. You know, it's a war zone, and unfortunately, it is also part of the story, isn't it?
Right.
They're just men, not for a moment to give excuse to brutality.
Right.
But it is true. There are. It's hard. It's hard for so many officers.
Right.
It's hard for their families.
Right.
It's a really difficult, and we really need them.
You know what?
And it's a tough situation, man.
It's one thing too, George. I spend a lot of time talking to members of the law enforcement community, and one of the things that one conversation I had, and I know that the individual don't care about me sharing it. He said they've adapted. They police each other. That's a model that the chief has you know, stressed. You police each other. So that way you keep each other out of trouble. If an officer is in a situation and another officer sees him going in a direction, it's his responsibility to pull your brother back. I'll take it from here. Let someone else take it. Just like in the home with our children. right? If one parent is going overboard, and that, I'm guilty of it, my wife says, I got it. You, I'll take care of it. You just go sit down. Go get your Pepsi and take a break. You know what I mean? And so that's the thing that really, really touched my heart. And it said, if we do that, just like in the church, if you see your brother or sister be overtaken, you know what I mean? You don't just, you know, restore such a one. You know what I mean? You step in and you do something and not just let them spiral out of control. And that leads me to this point. So when the young people see officers standing around doing nothing, they interpret in their head, wait a minute, they all hate us.
Right.
They all hate, it was four there, so the four represent the majority. They all hate us. Yeah. You know, and that's simply not
true.
It's the
case. Just tough. You know, we're just a few minutes to go, and I'm going to go back to Gary. But as I'm listening to you, and just, you know, we have different people listening, and so much is involved in all of this. I think of a pastor, chaplain that I know out in California, who's a chaplain at the Sheriff's Department, and just what officers do go through every day. This is an example that this chaplain, they called him the tackling chaplain, and the reason why is he happened to know judo. That's just, he happened to. But one day, just being with some officers, the situation and an arrest got so out of control, he actually jumped in and tackled the suspect because the officer was about to really be harmed.
Wow.
And you know what I mean? And just to be living in that, if I lived through that once in every 10 years, that's pretty traumatic. And these men are out there doing this stuff, right? They're really in these tough situations. It's really, we need the Lord and love and forgiveness and repentance. Well, Pastor Gary, we've got 2 minutes and a half, and I'd like to just give you an opportunity. It's a privilege to have you with us tonight. And, you know, last thing you'd say to our audience at this time in the last just 2 minutes we have.
How should I say this and be kind? Let's first examine the man and the woman in the mirror.
Mm.
Let's make certain that we are doing what we are required to do. First, as believers in Christ, and secondly, just as a human being. Make certain that we are standing up for justice, that we are doing what's right, that we will make a mistake, admit it, we made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Even to our children, being able to say, you know what, Dad was wrong. Forgive me for that. Mm-hmm. I'll do better. Well, we've all got to take on that kind of attitude because we're all human beings.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be cared for. And everybody wants to be treated right. And anytime I'm not doing that, I'm guilty of what created the spirit that we see taking place today. I'm guilty. I'm not talking about George, or George's daughter, or Pastor Hughes. I'm talking about Gary Palmer. I've got to examine my heart first if I'm to set a good example before you, George.
Amen.
And I believe Christ is the way.
Amen, Gary. I'm going to ask you to just say a quick prayer for the people in New England right now as we come to the end. And just you got a minute, a quick prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, that once again that you will look down upon the people of Massachusetts. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, that you will pour out your spirit, oh God, once again upon all flesh, oh God, that you will break down our divisions, oh God, that you will root up deceits and racism, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you visit every living person with your presence, God, to bring us together as one. Father, we do believe that Christ is Lord and Savior, and that he is the Savior of the world. I do thank you, Lord, for Brother George and his church having this radio station where we can speak into the lives of people. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Father, we thank you for bringing all our petition to you. And we know that you've heard us and that you will work on our behalf. It's in Christ's name and for his sake, we pray. And the believers around me said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Well, you're listening to Renew FM. It's been a privilege for me tonight here with Pastor Gary Palmer, New Hope Church near, and Pastor Tom Hughes, New Creation in Fitchburg. We'll be back tomorrow with some more programming for you from 6 to 7, but God bless you.
been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.